Hey, good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, joined here today by Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear to my left. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Mayor Mike Dodson to my right. Good morning.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, it's absolutely a great morning. First day of October and kind of, I guess, the beginning already of the fourth quarter for a lot of folks. And boy, Dave talked about rain coming up, and I saw Ron Fear sweating bullets over here a little bit.
Is that what he was doing? All
Something
I saw
like
was
that.
Him look over here. I couldn't really tell. I didn't see the sweat or the bullets. But yeah, I mean, anytime you get a flash flood watch issued, you know, 36 hours before a storm coming through, you know you got something that's brewing.
Yeah, usually not a very good sign.
Not a good sign.
Went by several of the projects this morning just to kind of see where things were. And
you're talking about street construction type things?
Yeah, well, our repairs Culvers. Mainly from all the water damage on Hayes, our two sinkholes, and then our storm box on Bertrand. And hopefully they're making good progress on Bertrand this morning. It looked like they were going to make maybe the final pour on Bertrand Street itself. And so getting that in a position to take that rain would be beneficial. The Hayes Drive sinkhole on the north side there, just north of Levee Drive, it's kind of vulnerable right now. It's still open. We've got a lot of activity going on there right now with bypass pumping and dewatering. One of our challenges is the water tables are still very high. This is a big 36-inch sanitary sewer trunk line that is fairly deep, and so you can imagine we got to pump the water table down in order to even get to the places to make the repairs. So we've got contractors working at both locations. The southern site looks a little better right now from at least being able to take this next storm without causing more damage. So we're just keeping our eye on those and hopefully hope for the best there to minimize some of that damage. And
you can't just put a tarp over it, huh?
No, can't quite do that, unfortunately.
It works at Kauffman Stadium.
And I don't think they make big enough steel plate
steel plates
to cover that big of a sinkhole. So
that's a big
got,
one.
Some folks with temporary arrangements there. I mean, we've got pipes hooked in so they can have water and sewer in their businesses. So
it's still a mess. Yeah. So hopefully this rain doesn't make it a bigger mess.
You have an idea of what it's going to cost to repair all that?
So those two sinkholes alone are actually, we have an item on the agenda tonight asking the commission to approve some financing for that, looking at being able to issue some temporary notes for that. But those two are going to be close to $1 million together.
And I was thinking that Pottawatomie County has asked for some assistance on helping with that financially as well.
We have. We asked them to declare a disaster declaration. It'll be difficult to determine whether or not, at least at this point, hopefully we'll get some reimbursement from that. The southern one, we should be able to get some of that back just because it did happen during a declaration period. The northern one happened a little later, and so there's some question whether or not that one might be covered or not. It'll depend on whether that was when there was also some high winds down in Lyon County and some other rain damage, and whether or not there was enough state damage to extend that declaration. But I know the state's trying to do that for us.
Are there any other areas in town that could be problematic that haven't been affected so far, but if we have some serious rain tonight, that could become an issue?
Nothing comes to mind right now. I think
not seeing any indicators.
Not seeing any indicators where we got some things open. You know, one of the things that's happened this year is the fluctuations in the water table. So basically what that, you know, when you have all this underground infrastructure that's flooded with groundwater, it's designed to take a lot of that. But as that fluctuates up and down, it causes those pipes to move. And invariably, you'll get some kind of little failure, and then once that happens, it starts taking other stuff with it. So, and that's really what happened on both those holes, where it took a gas line.
Sounds like a fascinating physics study.
Not really.
Well, I think the southeast part of Manhattan, if you went down 20, 30 feet, is not all that solid. I mean, this is old-time river bottom and all of that, so, I mean, as Ron said, when the water comes in and comes out, it's got an impact way down. That's why the sinkholes happen.
Is that an area where the original riverbed was, or I thought that that was a little bit further west of there?
It was a little west, but that whole area is, you know, being in a river valley, it's very sandy. It's a very fine sand. You know, we ended up with about, I think, 4 dumpsters full of sand at the wastewater treatment plant from both of those sinkholes, and it was a really fine sand. And some of that's from construction, too, so... It's, you know, in 93, we experienced 3 major sinkholes, only one on this 36 inch, and that was up at Casement and Marlette intersection, which was a, you know, a big crater. And again, the deeper those lines are, the bigger that hole becomes, because it just ends up eating all that, and then you have to clean that line out. Fortunately, the good thing is that that line runs pretty about half full most of the time, and so it's pushing stuff through, and it's, you know, what we don't want is a backup in a 36 inch sanitary main.
Yeah, that'd would be not bad be too. Yeah, you got lots of joyful things to discuss this morning, don't
absolutely
you?
we're talking about a lot of them tonight. Yeah, so yeah,
I'm sure you commission. Are yeah while it's happening.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if many folks realize just how much they appreciate having that route until it's not available to them. I don't know if you have traffic counts that show just how many people utilize that in a given week.
Yeah, I'm sure we do. It's probably a little bit old, and there's kind of an unofficial little detour there on a gravel well road that's ours, and that's helping out a little bit for folks that have learned that, but it is an inconvenience factor. We have got some of the other repairs done for the signal and some of that sort of thing, so hopefully things won't be too bad tonight.
I'm getting to the point where I understand that I have to take Tuttle Creek Boulevard all the way home.
Probably so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think most of us are getting acclimated, and then when things open, we're going to be so screwed. Or appreciative.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, and then, you know, there's also that we spoke last week on the phone about the Bluemont project here that's going
right.
to shut down to one lane. That hasn't happened just yet.
Hasn't yet. Might later today. It's supposed to happen this week. And so I think it's just a matter of how quick they get mobilized to the site. I know they have a construction yard near there as well. So I saw some activity there that they were getting set up. So obviously... once they get moving on the site, they'll need to close that down, and that'll certainly be something. We're working, hopefully, I guess one area we do have a little bit of vulnerability and exposure with some heavy rain would be up on our North Manhattan project. And that's, we're close to being able to make our final pours up there, and hoping to get North Manhattan back open by mid-October. And if we... lose some of that from erosion and stuff today, then that'll set us back a little bit. Down on Juliet, similar situation. We're putting in gravel base on the 2 blocks south of Woodrow Wilson School, south of Leavenworth Street. Last week, we had a really neat project that was really the idea of the principal at Woodrow Wilson, and some of the kids came out and had some instructional work with the contractor on laying bricks and brick streets, and got to participate in a little bit of that as a field trip and learning experience. And so all the brick are now in on Juliet in front of Woodrow Wilson, so we're just waiting for some other effects for that before we can get it back open. But where we've got some... we've got base exposure there on those 2 blocks south. It's fairly flat there, though, so I wouldn't anticipate a lot of erosion there, but it'll certainly make it difficult to dry out later.
How did the situation with the students at Woodrow Wilson come about with them helping out with delivering the bricks, basically?
I think it mainly was the idea of the Woodrow Wilson principal, who had just had the idea, is there any way that this could happen? Put them in touch with the contractor and the subcontractor, and worked out a way to make sure there's no liability issue or anything like
child
that.
Child labor laws.
Right, all that stuff, and safety, and just, you know, really created a unique educational experience, because you're not seeing many brick streets anymore, but that's a process, is where they get to see some of the fruits of that labor. And, you know, when they're bringing their kids back to school
forever.
And say, hey, I helped lay some of those bricks.
So yeah. That's neat.
It is neat.
Yeah, kudos to Principal North there at Woodrow Wilson Elementary for what a great idea that was. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about what's coming up tonight here with the City Commission meeting. We're going to talk with Ron Fear and Mike Dodson here on KMAN after this.